This is Sunday, May 23rd, 2021, Pentecost Sunday. Welcome. Our scripture this week is found in Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under the heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Well, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens and above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me begin with three quick stories and see if you can find the common thread that runs through them. The first story is about a woman who lives in Texas. She's a motivational speaker who is often asked to give the keynote address at conventions and convocations. Well, recently she returned home after speaking 5 nights in a row, and her husband said, "Honey, I know you must be really tired. Why don't you sleep in the morning?" Well, that sounded good to her, so she did stay in bed longer than usual. So when she finally got up, she put on an old worn-out robe that was frayed and faded, but comfortable, and some old house shoes that had no back in them. That kind that you have to slide your foot into them, and then you slide your foot as you walk to keep them on. Then she walked by a mirror and saw that her hair was a major disaster, so she stopped and put some of those big plastic pink rollers in her hair. And that done, she headed for the kitchen. When she walked into the kitchen to get her morning coffee, she noticed immediately her husband had forgotten to take out the trash. But in that community, if you didn't get your trash out in time, it was tough luck. They would not wait for you. So she grabbed the 2 big trash bags quickly and began to shuffle outside, pulling the heavy trash bags along the ground, trying to keep her worn-out robe closed by holding her arms close together, sliding her feet along to keep her house shoes on, and sporting huge pink plastic rollers in her hair. Well, just at the moment, the garbage truck was pulling away, and she shouted to the driver, "Am I too late?" And he took one look at her and replied, "No, hop on." Well, the second story, it comes from Dr. Jim Staniford. He was a pastor of a United Methodist Church in San Diego. So when Jim first came to San Diego, he played golf a couple of times with a man named Larson Cook. Well, some months later, Jim's wife said, "Jim, You used to play golf with Larson Cook, but you haven't played together for some time now. Why don't you play golf with Larson Cook anymore? And Jim replied, well, would you play golf with somebody who kicked the ball out of the rough into the fairway, or took a countless number of mulligans, or hit the wrong ball, or didn't write down the right score on the scorecard and kept hitting the ball after ball into the lake? Well, she said no. And Jim said, well, Larson Cook wouldn't either. Well, the third story, it comes from a minister who put an ad in the local paper for a well-rounded handyman who could fix things around the church and help out with routine chores. Well, the very next morning after he ran the ad, a well-dressed young man came and asked to speak to the minister. And the pastor sized up the young man, and then he asked him a flurry of questions. Can you start a fire? Oh, yes, sir. Can you have breakfast ready by 7 a.m. every morning? Well, yes, sir. Can you polish the silver and wash the dishes? Yes, sir. Can you keep things picked up and neat in the lawn mode? Well, yes, sir. And the minister continued, and of course there will be electrical problems and unexpected leaking pipes and restroom overflows and... Wait a minute, the young man interrupted. I came here to make arrangements for my wedding, but if it's going to be like that, I think I'll just forget the whole thing. Now, all three of these stories are humorous. They made me laugh when I first read them. But what is even better about them, and is a common thread that runs through them and links them together, is the fact that we know that these three stories, the only way we could. The people telling the stories, the motivational speaker and two pastors, are all telling stories on themselves. They're laughing at themselves as they tell the stories, and they are doing so with obvious joy and delight. To have a sense of humor and to be able to laugh at yourself is a sign of an emotionally healthy person. And it's fun to laugh with children at the cute and funny things they sometimes say. It's fun to laugh at hilarious wit of good comedians. But the best humor of all is when we laugh at ourselves. It's a real mark of emotional maturity. It eases our self-pity, it diminishes our pride, and saves us from taking ourselves too seriously. To have a good sense of humor, to be able to laugh at yourself, those are the signs of a healthy personality. Scholars tell us that the book of Acts was written by Luke, the physician. And if he were here with us today as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, he would probably remind us to get an annual checkup, not only physical, but spiritually as well. What questions do you think he might want us to answer if he were to give us a faith checkup? What are the signs of a healthy faith? It's a good question to raise and think about today as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church. Do we as a church family have a healthy faith? What are the key signs of a healthy faith? If you were asked to make a list of the key signs of a healthy faith, what would you write down? Well, to get into this, let's conduct a faith checkup. What I would like to do today is to ask you to make a house call, an annual checkup of your faith on this Pentecost Sunday. Most of us, if we are wise, get a yearly checkup by our doctor. We'll take our pulse and check our temperature and check our heartbeat. So today, I would like you to ask yourself three test questions that will enable you to take your spiritual pulse, to evaluate your present spiritual temperature, and to check your spiritual heartbeat. So are you ready? Here's question number one. First of all, do you have a healthy relationship with God? Think about that. How is your relationship with God right now? Is it warm and wonderful, alive and well? Is it healthy or unhealthy? Now, some people, they have a relationship with God based on fear and guilt. They think, I had better shape up and obey the rules or else God is going to get me. This is an unhealthy approach to faith because it makes God the boogeyman who's out to get us. And nothing could be further from the truth. So according to the scriptures, God is not the boogeyman. Rather, he's our best friend who's out to find us and save us and bring us safely back into his loving arms. Other people, they have a relationship with God based on self-interest. They say, I better be good so God will reward me and bless me now and let me go to heaven later. This, too, is an unhealthy approach to faith because it regards God as nothing more than an impersonal computer who automatically and mechanically rewards us when we do good and punishes us when we do bad. So according to the Bible, this is not the way God works at all. Jesus showed us that God loves us graciously, generously, compassionately, sacrificially, and unconditionally. So God is not some kind of unfeeling, uncaring, impersonal computer who does nothing more than react in kind to what we do. No, to the contrary, he's our living Lord, personal Savior, who comes looking for us, like a loving parent searching desperately for his lost child, laying his life on the line to find us and to save us, to reclaim us, and to draw us back into his loving arms, where we belong. We do good things not in order to get God to love us, but because he already loves us. Relationships with God based on fear and guilt or self-interest are basically unhealthy. They are flawed from the get-go because a healthy relationship with God is based on trust. We do our best and trust God for the rest. That's what Pentecost is all about. It's a celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is with us, and we can trust him. That is the promise of Pentecost. It's also the great promise of God recorded on page after page of the Bible. That's also the kind of trust Simon Peter must have had when he stood up to preach on that first day of Pentecost. God was with him. God's Spirit blew on that place, and he gave Peter the right words to say and the courage to say them. And 3,000 people were converted that day because Peter did his best and trusted God for the rest. So let me ask you something. Do you trust God like that? Do you? Do you have a healthy relationship with God built on trust in him? Now let's move on to the second question. Second, do you have a healthy relationship with others? I remember when I was a Boy Scout and went to Camp Tuscarora with my troop for a annual campout week with other scout troops from the area. And one of the scout leaders decided that it would be a great idea if we were to split up from our troops and one person from each troop be put together and to form new ones. And then as a learning exercise, each new troop was given a compass and a map to find our way to a certain location marked on the map. Well, I was assigned to a group of 5 or 6 other scouts, none of which I knew, and we started on our journey. After huddling together, we decided to head off into the woods, and we had agreed that it would be our shortest route. Well, we had a great time, but stayed too long. Darkness and fog came in quickly, and no one thought to bring a flashlight, so we ended up holding onto each other's hands and moving down the mountain together in a human chain. We sometimes debated which path we should follow, but the one thing we did not do was let go of each other. It was so dark and foggy that sometimes all I could see was the hand behind me and the hand in front of me. We made it back to camp by holding on to one another. Well, I learned more that day about the importance of building healthy relationships with others than any other event in my life. Not to mention the Boy Scout motto of be prepared. Well, having a healthy relationships with others in the church is crucial as well. It gives us a community of faith to hold on to, a hand behind us and a hand in front of us, but also a hand above us. The Pentecost story reminds us that all of us in the world are family. On that Pentecost day, all those people were drawn together, people from different nations, different cultures, different languages, different backgrounds. They were all united that day by God's Holy Spirit. They communed that day because of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The sign that day of a healthy relationship with others was not a clenched fist to fight off, but an open hand to take hold of and celebrate. So, well, how is it with you? Do you have a healthy relationship with God built on trust in Him? And do you have a healthy relationship with others built on love and respect? Third and finally, do you have a healthy relationship with yourself? We all know that if we feel good about ourselves, we are much more likely to become happy, productive people who make this world a bright and a better place. On the other hand, those with an unhealthy relationship with themselves, those who don't like themselves, are much more likely to have problems and be problems in the world. If you find people who are always negative, always complaining, always unhappy, and always criticizing, you can be sure that they have a self-esteem problem. Their bitterness is within. They are unhappy with themselves. So one of the best ways to have a healthy relationship with yourself is to affirm your real worth. You may ask, what do you mean, affirm your real worth? Well, according to the dictionary, the definition of affirm is state as fact, assert strongly and publicly, or two, to offer emotional support or encouragement. Our real worth is in our faith. The day of Pentecost came so that they may have that faith. You know, Pentecost means God in us. It's only God in us that gives us worth. To have a healthy relationship with yourself, you need to affirm your relationship God to God and give Him the glory. Dr. Luke tells us, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Well, they were waiting and praying to have a healthy relationship with God and holding each other up in prayer, building a healthy relationship with other believers. And then in verse 4, Dr. Luke tells us, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They had a real worth, and they should affirm their worth, their faith, and have a healthy relationship with themselves by affirming their faith, by giving God the glory. Remember, only when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts can we truly celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Take time today for a faith checkup. Do you have a healthy relationship with God? A healthy relationship with others? A healthy relationship with self? Well, I pray you do. Well, in His service, this has been Pastor Joe.